When he was fresh out of college in the 1990s, Brendan O'Connell did what a lot of arty American kids used to do, went to live in Europe. When he came back, he followed in the footsteps of his very American idols, Edward Hopper and Marsden Hartley. He took everyday American life as his subject matter. But there's nothing nostalgic about Brendan O'Connell's paintings, because everyday life for him meant real everyday American life. He went to Walmart. For the last 6 years, O'Connell has captured the people and the merchandise in the ultimate American mega retailer in colorful, impressionistic paintings. You can see some of them at studio360.org. I recently met up with O'Connell at an enormous Walmart in North Bergen, New Jersey. So where are we? Which number Walmart is this? Oh,
okay. This is the North Bergen, and it's sort of the flagship store.
Really?
What they call a flagship store.
Well, should we go into store number, whatever this is?
Number many.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to Walmart.
When you think about the whole vastness of this environment, there must be 35 cashiers here.
Right.
Which sets up an astonishing visual pattern.
And I mean, is that what first appealed to you about these places? Is the, well, you tell me, the vastness?
Well, because I had never been in one this big until I came to this one.
Uh-huh.
The original idea was I was doing art about everyday life. And so I would have people getting dressed or brushing their teeth or just doing very ordinary things. And someone suggested I follow someone out into the world. And so I did my first Walmart shoot where I had this actress bought her groceries and she shopped. So I took these photographs.
And when you say an actress, that was your process. You would take a model out and shoot them in life, and then paint based on that.
And so the irony was, I mean, I was a stock boy in a grocery store in college. So I kind of had...
Winn-Dixie, I've read.
Winn-Dixie, yes. And so in that, just the visual environment of... I find it kind of disorienting and mesmerizing all at once. I hated stocking shelves. But the act of doing it and seeing the patterns, there's something kind of, I guess, mesmerizing and disorienting are the two words that effectively cover the experience. Our attempt to find and construct beauty and order out of things, I think we always have that impulse. So even this huge curated space that is disorienting, our eye wants to simplify and focus and... Even if it's unconscious, we want to experience beauty.
Yeah. Your paintings in Walmarts are stylistically they're not hard edged. They are kind of loose and impressionistic. They are humanized and friendly. Whereas when somebody says, "Oh, this serious artist is painting Walmarts," one brings a certain set of expectations that, "Oh, it's going to be." Some
Andy Warhol.
Warhol 50 years later, hard-edged, kind of vaguely contemptuous, ironic thing. And that's not what you're doing.
Well, Warhol was a genius who opened everything up for what followed since 1960. But his images were cold and remote to me. I do like the softer handmade / just warmer quality of it. But let's not underestimate our sort of fetishistic relationship with brands.
Yeah.
What I'm stunned is people call me up and say, would you paint Swedish Fish? Will you paint Cheetos? It brings back a memory and intimacy with something from their past. And nostalgia is a significant part of this.
Uh-huh. And here we are at a Savor the Flavor giant Cheetos dump.
Yeah. And so my professor from Emory... She was like, if you paint 6 feet of Cheetos, I'm going to make political interpretations of that.
Right.
But someone from another part of the country with different political views would see
say, cool, a bunch of Cheetos.
Isn't God in America great that we can have 6 feet of Cheetos?
Yeah.
If you leave it in the ambiguous zone where people take away what they want to take away from the image, it's much more interesting than, you know, having an agenda or an axe to grind.
By the way, a 19-inch TV for $98. I'm tempted to buy one just because it's $98.
Yeah,
So the better part of a decade you've been doing this. At what point did Walmart learn of you and decide, no, you're fine, we like this, keep coming back, and we'll arrange for you to come back and give you stuff?
Well, 2010, I did a show in Boston, and the Globe gave me a full page on a Sunday. And then I did NPR and said I'd been invited to leave a lot of Walmarts. And then they said, we'd like to make it easy on you. So this was the first store I came to and had an official shoot.
This store?
This store.
Huh. Given that, not that you were, like, making a dark critique of Walmart before, but there was something subversive because you could get kicked out.
Right.
And you got kicked out. Now you're...
Just to mix it up, like, yeah. Sometimes I still do the surreptitious thing, even though I have full access, probably for the same reason that you're talking about, the anonymous element.
Right. And you don't want to be a total lapdog. patronized character. And here, I mean, and what's so amazing about Walmart has always been to me is you go directly from, you know, the cereal aisle a few paces later, essentially, here's a couch, you know, I mean, and an iPad. How much of your time in the last X years, six, 8 years, has been spent on this project?
Probably half. I used to be a closet figurative painter, and all the shows I did were abstract paintings.
Uh-huh.
Now it's the opposite. At the same time, the Walmart series allows me to stuff a bunch of different kinds of paintings into a different brand. I can play with all forms of 20th century painting under this idea.
How do you play with abstract painting in the Walmart frame?
Some of the paintings are really, really abstract. And then other paintings are really photo-based. And so I have that wide range. And then, you know, from very actionist, fat brush, slop it on, to... very anal detail.
How many have you been in, do you think, Walmart?
Walmarts? 3 dozen? 4 dozen?
Why do you need to go to so many? Is it finding the subtle differences that's interesting at a certain point, or is it just that's the project, I'll go to a lot of different Walmarts?
It's several fold. You go to Santa Fe Walmarts, the demographics of the people are entirely different.
And since you paint the people, that matters.
That matters. And
how many pictures have you made based on those images?
The small ones, definitely hundreds, because some of the small ones are like 12 by 12. As far as large ones, you know, a couple dozen.
Yeah. So you've been doing this for going on a decade. I mean, when will this be played out for you creatively? Like, okay, I'm done with Walmart.
I guess over the next 6 months to 12 months, I am going to go to a half a dozen remote places around America. I'm going to be painting in Houston for a day. I'm going to go to the Amish Walmart in Ohio.
There's an Amish Walmart?
It's fitted for
Amish. I want
Amish.
To go there.
You can come. And then I had the idea of, because my wife's a landscape painter and she does everything not man-made and very bucolic, that we get an RV.
This is plein air of a kind, right?
We get an RV and she paint the Tetons and I paint Idaho Falls Walmart, or she paint Yosemite.
That's your plan?
That was one idea.
You know what I'm thinking? Reality show.
And so I'd like to visit a half a dozen and do that as a combination documentary book. So I mean, there's the, how does the series continue to maintain life? It has to evolve and continue evolving.
Brendan, it has been a pleasure. Thanks for bringing me to Walmart and letting me inside your project.
Thank you so much.
You can see a slideshow of Brendan O'Connell's Walmart paintings at studio360.org.